Prophetic School Part 6. Thank you for tuning in. And I'm looking forward to ministering to you today and continuing this exciting series on the prophetic ministry. The response has been overwhelming. We have so many people that have responded and told us how they've enjoyed the hour teachings. And if you remember, if you have not yet listened to the first five parts of Prophetic School, you can view them by going to my website, which is johneckhartministries.com, and you'll have a chance to review all five lessons. This is part six. We're going to talk about Netof, when heaven drops. And I want to encourage those who are viewing for the first time, or maybe you've not had a chance to read the book that I've written on the subject of the prophetic. This book is called God Still Speaks. It is a book that I recommend for everyone to order. It has a lot of information. I ministered last week on the subject of prophetic presbytery, allowing leaders, elders, apostles, prophets to minister to you prophetically. And there's a whole chapter on the subject of prophetic presbytery in this particular book. And if you go to johneckhartministries.com, you can order a copy. And I'm sure that you'll be glad you did and have a chance to study it and read the whole subject of prophecy. Only so much we can cover in 1 hour. And of course, we have questions and answers too. And I'm looking forward to doing many more parts to this particular teaching. So thank you for tuning in. You can encourage a neighbor, a friend, another saint to tune in and learn on the subject of prophecy and personal prophecy, a corporate prophecy, the whole realm of the prophetic. And I'm going to begin this time of sharing with a verse that one of my favorite verses when I'm teaching on the subject of prophecy is found in Psalms chapter 40 and verse number 5. Psalms 40 and verse number 5. It says this: "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more that can be numbered." Wow, what a verse. It says that God's thoughts toward us, individually, corporately, his people, toward you, are so numerous that if we would declare and speak them, they are more than can be numbered, which literally means that you cannot prophesy and speak everything that God has planned for you. God has so many plans, so many thoughts for his people, and prophecy is just one of the ways that we hear the plans of God, the thoughts of God. It's not the only way. We can hear God's voice. We can be led by the Spirit of God. We can read the Word of God. But prophecy is one of those things that is so important that I did a whole teaching on the subject of desiring to prophesy, that you must desire this, covet to prophesy. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, our attitude toward prophecy. And so that verse really tells me that, and I've been a recipient of prophecies in the prophetic ministry consistently since 1989. So 25 years, I've seen the benefit of it in my own life, others ministering to me prophetically. And it's changed my life. It has helped me to understand, comprehend the course that God has for my life. And there's so many people, many of you that are viewing, that maybe your church does not have a prophetic culture, or there's not much prophetic ministry in your church or in your locale or in your region or in your territory. Well, be encouraged, because the water level of the prophetic is rising around the world. I'm seeing it break out in so many different places, so many churches, so many ministers are beginning to teach on this subject, beginning to release it in the house of God. And so it is something that is on the rise. And I want to encourage you to get as much teaching as possible so you can begin to move in it and operate in it, so that it can be a blessing to your region and to your territory. And so I'm excited, as always, sharing on the subject of prophecy and personal prophecy. My main verse is Psalms chapter 68 and verse number 8. I'm talking on the subject of Netof. You spell that N-A-T-A-P-H. It means to drop. It means to fall. It's like rain falling from heaven. It also means to prophesy. And you see this in Psalm 68 and verse number 8. It says, "The earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God." The heavens dropped. That's the word Netof. There's several words we analyze and look at when we're discussing prophecy. One is the word Nabi, N-A-B-I. It means to bubble up or to spring forth. And sometimes when the Spirit of God is prompting you or giving you an unction to give a prophetic word, whether it's corporately or individually, there'll be a stirring in your spirit. There'll be an unction. There'll be a bubbling up inside. As Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. That's the word Navi. It means an inspired man, an inspired utterance. And that's primarily how many people function in the prophetic. I function that way quite a bit. I just feel it stirring on the inside of me. Sometimes in a service, when I begin to speak in tongues, I feel the stirring of God. I begin to speak in tongues and pray in the Holy Ghost, and then all of a sudden, the prophetic word begins to come forward, and I begin to release it. That's Navi. But there's another dimension of the prophetic that is called Nataph, N-A-T-A-P-H, and it means to drop or to fall from heaven, like rain. That word also means to prophesy. Often the prophets were told to drop a word. And so it's like rain that falls from heaven. And so I've entitled this teaching, When Heaven Drops, or When God Drops His Word Upon Us. And so often in a service, when we have the presence of God, notice it says the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. As we begin to praise and worship in our celebrations, the Spirit of God begins to come. Of course, the Spirit of God is there. He never leaves us. But we begin to feel a greater presence of God, a greater presence of the manifest presence of God. We begin to move into worship. People begin to lift their hands. They begin to bow. They begin to weep. They really begin to sense God's presence. And that's when often God would just begin to drop his word in the service. There'll be a word from heaven. The word Nataph means to distill like rain or like water. It's almost as if when we praise and worship God, something begins to distill in the atmosphere, and the word begins to drop like rain. When that happens, God just drops his word on you, and we find people begin to prophesy. Now, in our services, we have an order. We have a certain team every Sunday that we assign to perform prophetic ministry. We have quite a number of ordained prophets in our church that are feel free or welcome to come to the platform if they get a prophetic word. But we also have a team each Sunday, a different team assigned to the service, that when this begins to happen, God drops his word in the service, and they begin to receive it, and they begin to release it corporately. We have prophecy every Sunday in our church. There's always a word from the Lord. And often we have it 2, 3, or 4 times in a service. So it's something that's consistent in our church service. It's a part of our culture because we believe that when we come into the presence of God, that God will speak to us. Now, sometimes we bow, they're silent. Sometimes no one is speaking. So it doesn't mean that you always have to prophesy when the presence of God comes. So sometimes we bow, we weep, we just enjoy God's presence. Sometimes there's silence. We sense that we just need to receive. Everyone needs to receive directly the word from heaven. But then there are times when God drops his word and we begin to prophesy. That's what Nataph means. It means when heaven drops his word. God drops his word from heaven and it falls like rain. Now, rain in Scripture represents blessing. It represents refreshing. And this is often how God refreshes his people. When we get in the presence of God, we should be refreshed. We should be renewed. We should be inspired. We should be recharged. You know, when we come into the presence of God, no matter what you're going through in life, no matter what you've gone through that week, no matter what difficulties you have been experiencing, when you come to the house of God, it should be a time of refreshing, a time of renewal, a time of reigniting, and that's why the word falls like rain. God wants to refresh his people. I know when you have thousands of people in the service, I'm sure many of them have challenges. They come to the house of God. Maybe they're tired physically, spiritually, mentally. They're facing things in life. Doesn't mean that everyone is tired, but sometimes people are just tired with the struggles of life. They come to hear the word of God. Well, there is a refreshing from heaven. There is a rain that falls from heaven. Now, I want to read 4 verses that really connect in this chapter, Psalm 68. In verse 8, it says, the heavens shook, or rather the earth shook, the heavens also dropped, Nataph, prophesied, at the presence of God. Verse 9 says, thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, an abundant rain. It says, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. I love that verse. It talks about confirmation. when God confirms us, when God strengthens us. This is the power of prophecy, the power of the prophetic word. It confirms us, it strengthens us, it establishes us, which is why I believe it's so needed in our churches today, because every believer needs to be confirmed by God. God often speaks to us and says, "You're my people. I've called you, I've anointed you, I've chosen you." He confirms us. He lets us know we're his people. Of course, we know that. We believe that. The Word of God says that. But oftentimes you need to hear it. You need to be reminded of it. It confirms you. It says when we're weary, which means that this rain comes at times of weariness and tiredness, God confirms us. He strengthens us. He establishes us by releasing his rain. His prophetic word is Natal. And that's why this is so important that we have it on a consistent basis in our churches. God does not want his people to be tired, worn out, defeated. He wants them to be confirmed. He wants them to be strengthened. He wants them to be established. He wants them to have the rain of heaven fall, the blessing of heaven fall. He wants confirmation, especially when we are weary and when we're tired, when we've done so much. You know, ministry can be very tiring. You do a lot of ministering. You minister to people. You cast out devils. You prophesy. You win the lost. You pray for people, especially churches that are very actively involved in ministering to hurting people. It can become very grueling and very tiresome. There can be a lot of virtue that leaves your life. Well, the good news is when we come together in our weekly services and begin to worship God and begin to come into the presence of God, God releases his word, heaven drops his word, and we get confirmation like a plentiful rain. When we're weary, God refreshes us, God establishes us, God re-strengthens us, he refires us, he reignites us. It's something that just keeps us going from week to week and year to year so we won't burn out. We're always excited. I love God's presence. I love the prophetic word because it is something that has kept me moving in ministry for the last 25 years. It is something that no matter how much I travel, minister, preach, prophesy, no matter what comes my way, I'm always excited and fired up and charged because I'm around the prophetic. People often say, Pastor Eckhart, how do you stay on the cutting edge? How do you keep going? How do you keep moving? Well, I'm around the prophetic. I'm around the Word of God. I'm in a prophetic community. I'm in a prophetic church. I know the rain of heaven. I know the blessing of heaven. I know how to keep myself stirred up. I refuse to be burnt out, worn out, beat down in ministry. I know preachers who are burnt out, worn out, discouraged, depressed. Well, you need to get around the prophetic and get the prophetic in your life because when God speaks, it's like rain from heaven that confirms us when we're weary. Then it says in verse number 10, "Thy congregation has dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor." So it talks about God's goodness being released, especially for the poor in spirit, the poor, those who need God's goodness, God's reign, the needy, those who recognize their need from heaven, those who recognize they need prophecy, they need to hear God's voice. You know, I'm amazed at people who say things like, "We don't need prophecy. Why do you teach on prophecy? Why do you teach on the gifts of God? Why do you teach on the anointing of God? You don't need all of that." Well, when you're poor, when you recognize your need, when you're poor in spirit, you're blessed. God can confirm you, strengthen you, pour out upon you, show you his goodness. When you are humble, you're not proud and arrogant and think that you don't need to hear the voice of God. We need God's voice. We need God's direction. We need God's strength. We need God's confirmation. We need this to be active in our lives. There's no way you can live a powerful life in the spirit and not need heaven to drop its word upon your life. And then in verse number 11, it says this: "The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it." So it's talking about the word being given. It's talking about the word being released. It's talking about the prophetic word being released. It's talking about heaven dropping its word. And it says that when he gives the word, great is the company of those that publish it, which means that God is not raising up one prophet here, one prophet there, one prophet over here, over there. No, God is raising up a company of prophetic people, a company of believers that are prophetic, that are inspired by God, that move in the Holy Ghost, that move in the power of God. And because when he gives the word, he wants that word to be spoken by a great company. Of course, in the original Hebrew, it literally means a great company of women published the word. So I get requests all the time. People are asking me a question. I was taught in my church that women couldn't speak. Women couldn't say anything. because they don't understand the context of the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And in many churches, we're taught that women can't do anything. They can't speak. They can't do anything. But the Bible says in the last days, we fulfill on the day of Pentecost, which were the last days of the old covenant age, God poured out his spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters would prophesy. Now, why would God pour a spirit out upon the daughters and say they could prophesy and then tell them they couldn't say anything? The very essence of prophecy is to declare the word of the Lord. So there is a great company of women. Matter of fact, there are more women prophesying today than men, because the church has more women than men in the church. So if you shut the women up, and if they can't prophesy, preach, or do anything, you might as well shut the whole church down, because women are being used by God globally around the world. And I'm so excited of the women that God is using. Now, God also uses men. We need more men to step up in the prophetic. We need the authority of men. We need men to rise up in the spirit, and that's happening around the world. Many men are rising up and taking hold of the spirit of God and leading their homes and their families and churches, and really stepping into that position that God ordained them to step in, and they're prophesying and speaking the word of the Lord. And so God's heaven is dropping. Heaven is dropping. That's the kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which means that heaven, when heaven touches earth, when heaven drops upon earth, when the rain from heaven falls upon earth, when as the Bible says, my word, like the rain and the snow that comes from heaven and waters the earth and gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, it shall not return void. God's word falls like rain. It comes like snow. It covers the earth. And that's what's happening today, where we're seeing the rain fall. Why? Because of the presence of God. It says again, the heavens dropped at the presence of God, nataf, when heaven drops, to prophesy, to speak by inspiration at the presence of God. Now, the important thing is that we should desire God's presence. If you're really going to be a prophetic person and really move in the power of the prophetic, you must become a lover of God's presence. You must enjoy God's presence. The church must have room for God's presence. Now, I know that churches have programs, they have orders of services, and sometimes we really don't invite God's presence in strong, or when the presence of God comes in strong, the leader will get up and cut the service, and because they have an order of service, and that's regrettable, because people really do need to come into contact with God's presence. When you become a lover of presence, you are a worshiper. When you become a worshiper, you're in a position to prophesy. You're in a position to hear the voice of the Lord. You're in a position to receive the rain from heaven, because you love God's presence. And that's what God is really challenging us in this time, to become strong worshipers, to become lovers of God's presence, to enjoy God's presence, to delight ourselves in God's presence. When you have God's presence in a church service, it provides an atmosphere for the prophetic and for the word of the Lord to be released. Now, when God speaks his word through us, that's when miracles happen. And people get healed, delivered, confirmed, established. They receive revelation. They get convicted. They repent. They recommit. God sends his word and heals us and delivers us out of our destructions. The word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That prophetic word goes deep into the hearts of people and does a miraculous work of deliverance and healing and confirmation and strengthening and edification and exhortation and comfort. I mean, when the word of the Lord is released, there is something power that takes place. You know, the principle in Genesis was that the Spirit of God hovered or moved on the face of the water, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Notice nothing happened until God spoke. So often the Spirit of God can be hovering in our services, and the presence of God can be there, but we need to speak. When you speak, that's when something happens. God spoke and there was light. Something happens when we speak. There's power in words. Our words are spiritual containers that release spirit and life. Now, the death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so I can go on and on in discussing the benefits, the power of prophecy, why we need to get back to it in our churches. If we're Pentecostal or charismatic, it's more than just speaking in tongues every now and then. There is inspired utterance. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. That's a result of being filled with the Spirit of God. One of the first lessons I did, remember, I talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the doorway into the prophetic realm. As Pentecostals, sometimes they limit the baptism of the Holy Spirit to speaking in tongues based on Acts chapter 2. But in Acts chapter 19, it says when Paul laid his hands upon them, they spoke in tongues and prophesied. When you speak in tongues, that's inspired utterance in another language. And really, and when you prophesy, it's inspired inspired words in your own language, but it's inspired utterance. That's what prophecy is. It's when God drops his word from heaven and you're inspired to release and to speak the word of the Lord. And when you release it and speak it, tremendous things begin to happen. Confirmation, refreshing, rain, blessing, fruitfulness, abundance. All of this is symbolized by rain from heaven. Without rain, there is no blessing. Without rain, there is no harvest. Without rain, the ground does not yield its increase. Rain represents God's blessing, and a brazen heaven represents a curse. An open heaven represents blessing, rain, falling like rain, refreshing us, reviving us, strengthening us. I mean, that's the benefit of the Word of God when it falls like rain. And I'm believing that everyone that is viewing this program, that in your church on Sunday, God's rain would fall, the heavens would open, there'll be a downpour of the rain of God, of the Word of God, that people will be healed, delivered, refreshed, that they'll receive strength, they'll be confirmed, that God would give His Word, and great would be the company of those that publish it or release it. God is raising up a great company of prophetic believers around the world. We're seeing it wherever we go. And so that's the message on Netaf. I want to encourage you as you worship in your services to allow God to drop His word. Develop the prophetic. If you're a pastor and you're watching this, develop the prophetic ministry. Release the prophetic. Get teaching on it. Get some books. Teach it yourself. Bring someone in to help you activate and release your prophetic people. You have them in your church. Every church has prophetic people. Some of them are sitting in the pews dying. They're being stirred, but there's no way to release it. But they're there. If you begin to teach on this and begin to release it and begin to bring order to it and begin to bring faith in this area, you're going to begin to see the water level of the prophetic rise in your church. You're going to see the word of the Lord begin to come forward, personal prophecy, prophetic presbytery, corporate prophecy. It's going to be phenomenal. You're going to see the blessing of God come in ways that you've never seen before. Well, I'm going to encourage those who want to ask questions to begin to plug them in, because it seems as if some of the people want to ask questions more than just hear what I'm teaching, and that we have quite a number of people that are writing in and asking different questions. So feel free to do that, and I'll do my best to get to you with the time that I have for those who ask questions. Now let me just read a few. Let me read this from the book, and I'm recommending that you get a copy. It is called God Still Speaks. It is our book on the prophetic. I have a lot of information on the prophetic in this book, and you can go to johneckhartministries.com after the program, and you can order the book, and I'm sure that you'll be blessed by the teaching. Let me talk about prophetic activation on page number 42. One of my favorite verses is Ezekiel 37 in verse number 10. Ezekiel was commanded by the Lord to prophesy, and it's to the dry bones. And it says, "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army." Now notice several things about the power of the prophetic word. It says when he prophesied, breath came into them. Remember what Jesus said, "The words I speak, they are spirit and they are life." The word breath means spirit. In the Greek, it's the word pneuma, which literally means spirit. Wind, breath, air. When you stop breathing, that's when your spirit leaves your body. Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." And so I want to talk about the breath of God for just a moment, and how the prophetic word releases life and releases breath into us as a church. We talked about confirmation, and we talked about how the word confirms like rain falling from heaven, refreshes us, strengthens us, but the word also breathes life into people. I've seen people come to church who were so down, it's like they had no breath, no life, no spirit, no passion, no joy, no excitement. Because of life, because something may have happened, they just got discouraged, got depressed, gave up, had no fire. And when the prophetic word begins to come forth, I begin to see those same people breathe again. They begin to get life. It's as if God breathes back into them life. This doesn't mean that everyone has to, you know, get prophecy to get life. You can get life by reading the word, by praying, by worshiping. But the prophetic word is one of the ways that we can see the life of God released in the people. Listen to this. These dry bones represented the house of Israel. As Ezekiel prophesied, the bones came together. The prophet has the ability to prophesy people into their right position. Notice when he prophesied, these bones not only began to come alive, they began to come together. Now, what that shows me about prophecy is often there are things in your life that need to come together. And God will use prophecy to bring things together in your life, to arrange things, to bring parts together that may be disjointed or scattered, to bring people into your life. The prophetic word is amazing. There's power in prophecy. That's why Paul said, of all the gifts, desire to prophesy, covet to prophesy, because it edifies, it exhorts, it comforts, but it also gives life. It breathes life, it heals, it delivers, it brings things together. These dry bones were scattered. They were disjointed. But as Ezekiel began to prophesy, the bones began to come together. Sometimes I prophesy over people whose lives are so disjointed, so scattered, so much confusion. Their finances are disjointed. Their relationships are disjointed. It's like nothing has come together for them. They know they have a destiny. They know they have a purpose, but nothing seems to come together for them. Well, when the prophetic word is designed to begin to put things together in a person's life, to bring order, to bring things together that are disjointed. Just as Ezekiel began to prophesy to the dry bones, and the dry bones came together. As Ezekiel prophesied, sinews and flesh came upon the bones. Sinews represents strength. That's muscle. Notice that when he prophesied, muscle came. Muscles represent strength. Skin represents form. The necessary components are prophesied into proper form, and then life and strength are added all through the prophetic ministry. So the prophetic word releases strength to your life. It causes your life, if you're weak, it gives you sinews. It gives you muscle. It gives you strength spiritually. When the prophetic word comes forth, it can also release miracles, healings, signs, and wonders within the local assembly. Again, the principle is Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, when it says the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Have you ever met people whose life seemed to be without form and void, even though they're created by God and their life is covered with darkness? But then it said the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. One of the first things that happens when God speaks, whether he speaks directly to us or speaks through us, is that light comes, illumination comes. We begin to see out of the darkness. We begin to see through the fog. We begin to see what we could not see before. It begins to bring light and illumination and revelation into our lives when the Spirit of God is moving. Now, I've been in many services where the presence of God comes in and the Spirit of God is hovering over the assembly, And no word is released because the church doesn't often know how to tap into that and release a word. People will just shout, dance, praise God, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. But I've seen times in church services, because I was not in a position of authority, I was just maybe a visitor, but I knew it was a time when God wanted to speak. But because the leaders were not sensitive or they really didn't know what to do, they would just stand there and maybe pray or just sing, but really not know how to move prophetically. And it was almost like it was a missed time. Well, that's changing. We're getting a better understanding, a better revelation of how God moves, and we're seeing more and more assemblies beginning to move in the power of God. So I want you to be encouraged, and I want you to know that when God speaks, miracles begin to take place. Whether it's a Nabi bubbling up, whether it's Nataf, God dropping his word on people. Now, if someone asked this question, they said, when God gives you a word, how do you know whether that word is for you or whether it is for someone else? And I said this, when the word is for someone else, or for the congregation, because God can speak directly to you and speak and give you a word for your life. But when there's a word for the congregation or for someone else, you'll have an unction to speak it. When the word is for you, you don't necessarily need an unction to declare it. You don't need to speak it to yourself. You can just receive it. So God's voice does come. He speaks to us. But when there's an unction to speak it, when God drops it on you, an unction from heaven, or when the unction comes from bubbling up inside of you and you want to release that particular word, then that's a sign that it's prophecy and not just a word directly for you. You can kind of differentiate between when it's a word for you and when it is a prophetic word. So I want to encourage you that to hear the voice of God for yourself. God can speak to you, but God can also give you a word for someone else, or give you a word for the congregation, or give you an unction to want to speak that word. Sometimes the unction is very strong. Sometimes it's just it's a small unction. It's not overwhelming. Don't feel that it has to be something overwhelming. God's not going to make you prophesy. He's not going to break your arm in the service and push you to the front and make you speak. Sometimes it can just be a slight unction. Sometimes it's a very strong unction. It depends on the level of anointing or presence of God that is in a particular service. So know that God does speak to us individually, but the prophetic word is released for the congregation. That's corporate prophecy or for individuals. Now let me just read a few more words about confirmation. Now remember, I read the verse in Psalm 68. It said the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. And then verse 9, thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. So God confirms his inheritance. Now, let me talk about prophetic confirmation. This is on page 45 of the book, God Still Speaks. According to Webster, to confirm means to make firm, to strengthen, to give new assurance to remove doubt. Well, that's a good definition. How many of us need to be strengthened? How many of us need a great assurance? How many of us need to be made firm? How many of us need doubts to be removed from our lives? That's what confirmation does. God confirms his inheritance by raining his word upon us and by that word being released. When something is firm, it is securely or solidly fixed in place. It will be set, definite, and not easily moved or disturbed. When something is confirmed, it will be marked by a long continuance and likely to persist. This is the will of God for the saints. The ministry of the prophet has been set, and also prophecy has been set in the church for confirmation of the saints. Notice Acts chapter 15 and verse number 32. It talks about Judas and Silas, two prophets in the New Testament. It said, and Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. That's Acts 15 and 32. Two prophets, Judas and Silas, are found in the New Testament. There are others. Agabus was a prophet. But Judas and Silas are called prophets. And it says they confirmed the brethren. When prophets minister, when the prophetic word is released, confirmation will be the result. The saints will be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It was necessary for Judas and Silas to minister confirmation to this particular church because of false teaching. Some churches need to be confirmed. They need to be strengthened. They need to be established. They need doubts to be removed. Maybe the assembly has been shaken by something. Maybe there's an attack upon the assembly. Maybe the saints are tired. They're weary. They're frustrated. They need a confirming word. Well, that's what rain does. Rain refreshes us. It confirms us. It strengthens us. Again, it was necessary for Judas and Silas to minister confirmation to this particular church because of false teaching. The souls of the saints were being subverted in Acts 15:24. Sometimes assemblies have gone through trouble, bad teaching, false teaching. They've been shaken. They've been attacked by spirits, Jezebel. It's been a split. There's been something that has happened among leadership. They're discouraged. They're weak. They're weary. They're tired of fighting. Things have gone wrong. Those are the kinds of churches that really need prophetic confirmation. They need the reign of heaven to strengthen the saints. Notice this. They were subverted in Acts 15:24, which means they were being overturned or overthrown from their foundation, weakened or ruined by degrees. They had become destabilized. When saints are unstable, they will not abound in the work of the Lord. After they received prophetic ministry, these churches were established in the faith. They were made firm and strengthened concerning their salvation. Well, that's a powerful, powerful teaching on confirmation. And again, Psalm 68, Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain. When the rain falls, when heaven drops, when the word falls, refreshing, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance. God loves to confirm his people. He loves to strengthen his people. He loves to establish his people. He loves to remove doubts from his people. He loves to make sure his people receive the fullness of what God wants them to receive. And so I love to see saints confirmed. I love to see churches confirmed. I love to see churches get assurance. I love to see doubts removed. I love to see this on a personal basis. I love to see it on a corporate basis. I love to see saints refreshed and churches refreshed. That's why I love the prophetic word. And I've seen this over and over again throughout my ministry around the world when churches receive strong prophets, strong prophetic ministry, how it brings that church to another level of strength and power and assurance and ability, how weakness turns into strength because of God's prophetic word. Something supernatural happens when God speaks to his people, when we hear God's voice, when we're struggling, when we're not sure, when we're weary, when we're tired, when we allow our flesh to and allow things in life to affect us in a negative way. Now, I know that if some would say, well, no one ever become weary. You should always be strong, and you should always walk in the word and speak the word. And I understand that. I believe in being strong. But there are times in the life of believers, because we're human, because we deal with things, that we do need prophetic ministry. We need prophets to help us, to confirm us, to strengthen us. Every one of us, even leaders and pastors who go through things and challenges in their churches and challenges in their ministry and discouragement and frustration and things that happen, you need to be confirmed. You need to hear the voice of the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. God loves to do that for his people. God loves to speak to his people. The Bible says, forget not his benefits. This is the benefit of prophecy and the prophetic word. Now, I love what it says about confirmation. It talks about removing doubt. When you're challenged with doubt, are you sure whether is this the direction God wants me to go? Is this, am I really doing what God wants me to do? Am I really on the right path? And then you get a prophetic word that speaks directly to that issue, and all doubts are removed. I call it dissolving of doubts. Dissolving of doubts. We find in Scripture this interesting description of Daniel, who was one of the premier prophets of the Old Testament. Daniel 5:12. It says, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel. Daniel, as a prophet, had the ability to dissolve doubts. What a description. I don't think there's any other person in Scripture that is described as someone that not only has knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, showing hard sentences, but dissolving of doubts, which means that when Daniel ministered, his ministry caused doubt to dissolve. He removed doubt from those he ministered to. Because we more often concentrate our attention on his other qualities, we seldom notice that Daniel had the ability to dissolve doubts. Evidently, the prophet's anointing would dissolve doubts, causing persons who receive prophetic ministry to walk in a greater degree of faith and assurance. They will have a clearer understanding of the will of God. They will receive confirmation, as I mentioned above, but they will also have doubts removed from their minds. Daniel was able to remove all doubt and confusion from the king by interpreting his dream. Saints who struggle with doubts and hesitancy will benefit from anointed prophetic confirmation. Let me say that again. Saints who struggle with doubts and hesitancy will benefit from anointed prophetic confirmation. Their doubts will disappear. Their faith level will be elevated, and they will be able to move forward effectively without hesitation. With a question, I can get the questions out. My son is helping me. Sorry about that. Okay. Well, we got disconnected again. Here I am. I'm going to pray. I really took most of the time to try to describe Psalm 68, and forgive me for the interruption. It was like I was on a roll, and I don't think we're going to have a time for questions and answers. But let me say this. I do encourage you to get a copy of this particular book, God Still Speaks. I encourage you to get a copy, read it, study it. There are other books that I'm going to be recommending in the days to come on the prophetic ministry. I know that you'll be blessed by the teachings. And I always want to pray and prophesy over those who are viewing. Now, this is your first time viewing Prophetic School. This is part 6. The first 5 parts should be available on our website, which is johneckhartministries.com, and you can go there and view them free of charge. There's no charge to view the programs. If you want to donate something to our ministry, please feel free to go to crusaderschurch.org, hit the donate button, and you can donate something into our ministry, where we're touching nations around the world. We just had a team return from Zimbabwe and South Africa ministering prophetically. We just had a team come from the Bahamas. We just had a team come from Colombia all in the past week. And so we're really seeing a lot of nations being touched by the power of the prophetic word. So I want to encourage you to donate if you want to do that and be a blessing. I believe that God will bless you. And also view the programs free of charge. Also, go on my Facebook page and let me know how you enjoyed the program, or some things you may want to discuss and want me to discuss in the days to come, weeks to come. I'll be doing this every Monday evening at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's 8 p.m. on the East Coast, and that's 5 p.m. on the West Coast. And then, of course, you can always view the program or review it as we put it up on our different Facebook, different pages, our different websites, either crusaderschurch.org or johneckhartministries.com. And get a copy, not get a copy, but watch the programs, but get a copy of the book, God Still Speaks. One of the things I often say, people ask me so many questions. If you go to my Facebook page, I have a whole list of articles on the prophetic that I posted several days ago. You may have to scroll down some to get them, but there's some excellent articles on the prophetic that I encourage you to read. You can literally get a whole Bible course on the prophetic in a short period of time. Because of technology and because of the internet, You know, you don't have to necessarily go and sit in a classroom, you know, for months at a time to learn what you're learning now. You can learn at an accelerated pace about prophecy, prophetic ministry, prophetic presbytery, corporate prophecy, the ministry of the prophet. We're going to be doing a teaching on the Shamar prophet. And the Shamar prophet is what I have a book called the Shamar prophet. The word Shamar means to guard, to protect. It's based on the verse in the book of Hosea, which talks about the ministry of Moses, which says that by a prophet was Israel delivered, and by a prophet was he preserved. The word preserved means, in the Hebrew, is the word shamar. It means to fence in. It means to guard. Excuse me, it means to protect. And one of the functions of prophets in a local assembly is through their intercession to guard, to fence, to be watchmen, to protect the house of God from the assignments of darkness, to prevent certain things from entering into that assembly through their discernment, through their prayers, through their intercession. So we are going to do a teaching on the prophetic ministry, specifically the Shamar prophet. I'm going to do a whole series on the Shamar prophet. And that will be part 7, which is next week's teaching. What are Shamar prophets? We're going to begin to move more toward the ministry and function of prophets as opposed to just prophesying or speaking prophetically as every believer can do. We're going to begin to describe what seers are, what prophets do, the ministry of the prophet, why God has set them in the church, how they function among the fivefold ministry, how we can identify prophets in our churches, how we can release prophets in our churches, because most churches have been familiar with the ministry of the pastor. We know about the pastor. Most churches emphasize the pastor, but very few talk about prophets, or some teach that the pastor is everything. Well, the pastor is not everything. The pastor is one of five ministries: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So we're going to talk about the prophets. And then, of course, there's so much false information and so many people who are claiming to be prophets who are not true prophets, and that needs to be cleared up. How do you identify a true prophet? What do real prophets do? Prophets do more than prophesy. They pray, they worship, they can sing, they can preach, they can teach, they can counsel. I mean, there's a lot that prophets do. It's a tremendous ministry. We're going to talk about the Shamar aspect of the prophet, how the prophet guards and protects, and how the prophet intercedes and literally stands in the gap and stands in his ward or her ward and rebukes the enemy and stands at the gates and prevents the enemy from coming through the gates. There have been many churches that have been destroyed because of the lack of prophetic intercession and the lack of prophetic watchmen in the house of God. The prophet doesn't take the place of the pastor. They don't overthrow the pastor. They don't overthrow the senior leader, but they do function with the pastor to guard and protect that flock from the assignments of hell. So we're going to talk about that in the next program. So be sure to tune us in same time next Monday, 7 p.m. Central Time, as we teach and minister on the subject of the Shamar prophet. And we have some of that in this book, God Still Speaks, on what a Shamar prophet is. And so you can even study up before time. We have a whole chapter on prophets at the gates. We have a chapter called Prophets Who Protect. Those two chapters talk about the role of prophets, and we're going to discuss those two chapters in our next program. So if you have the book, you can read those chapters. Let me give them to you what chapters they are. That'll be chapter number 5 and chapter number 6. And you can be prepared as we teach on the subject of Shamar prophets and what prophets are called to do. So let heaven drop upon your life. Let the rain fall upon your life. Come into the presence of God individually, corporately. Let the presence of God fill our churches, and let God's word begin to fall from heaven. We need a word from heaven. We don't need the word of men, the word of tradition, the word of religion. We need to know, what is heaven saying? What word is heaven dropping? What is God speaking today? That's what's important. Often we hear so much tradition and so much religion and so many sermons that are man's opinion, but what is heaven saying? What is heaven dropping at that particular time, at that particular season, at that particular point in time? I don't believe that any two services should be the same. God drops a different word. We've had words of healing drop. We've had words of deliverance drop. We've had words concerning evangelism drop. We've had words concerning prayer drop. Words concerning worship drop. words concerning repentance drop. I mean, the different words that God drops in the service, because God knows exactly what that congregation needs at that particular time. He knows exactly how to drop that word for that particular season. Remember, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What is God saying today? What word is proceeding today? What is happening today? What is God saying today? That's the message, Nataf, when heaven drops, Psalm 68 and verse number 8. I encourage you to read verses 8, 9, 10, and 11 of Psalm 68. Meditate on them. Think on them. Ponder them. Let that become a part of your spirit. Let it become a part of your lifestyle, that you live under an open heaven, that God is dropping his word on your life on a consistent basis. This is not something that God does every now and then. God's rain falls on us as we worship. Rain, the blessing of heaven falls. It is a lifestyle. You should live under an open heaven. You should receive God's word when it drops from heaven. Of course, God's word can bubble up on the inside of you. It should be in you. That's Nabi. But God's word can also fall from heaven. That's Natah. Let me pray for you and bless you. Father, I thank you for everyone that is viewing this program, this telecast. And Father, I speak your word of life. And I speak your word even prophetically to those who are viewing this particular time. And the Lord says, this is a new season in an hour in which you'll begin to understand how heaven and earth come together. For many have said, oh, heaven is a faraway place that I'll go to one day. The Lord said, oh, no, heaven is what I'm releasing now. I'm causing my presence from heaven to come upon you. I'm causing the rain from heaven to fall upon you. And you'll know what it means to live in a heavenly atmosphere, to live in my presence, to receive the word that comes from heaven. Yes, even though you live on the earth, and even though you walk on the earth, and even though you live a natural life, I am causing heaven even to drop upon you. And many of you that are listening even now, you shall begin to experience a new realm of the prophetic. For not only shall the prophetic bubble out of you, and not only shall the prophetic stir up on the inside of you, but oh, the prophetic shall fall upon you as you worship, as you come together. You shall know my presence, and oh, heaven shall drop rain upon you. And I'll confirm and I'll strengthen many of you that have been weak, and many of you that have been discouraged, and many of you that have been tired. Oh, you'll know the refreshing of heaven as you come into the prophetic realm. Oh, many of you have been held back, and many have been told it's not for you. Don't go that way. It's too deep. But oh, I'm drawing you in. And I'm causing you to desire this. I'm causing you to covet this. I'm causing it to be stirred up on the inside of you. I'm giving you knowledge and wisdom and understanding and revelation concerning my purpose, for I am a God that speaks. I spoke yesterday, I'm speaking today, and I will speak tomorrow, and I will speak peace to my people, and I'll speak strength to my people, and I'll speak a refreshing and blessing to my people, and I'll cause my word to fall upon your services as you come together. Oh, you'll experience new waves of glory and new waves of my presence, and you'll know that heaven is open over your house, for truly your houses shall be called Bethel, the house of God, even the gate of heaven. Oh, it'll be an open heaven over you, and you'll not live under a closed heaven, but you'll live under an open heaven. For my spirit shall come, and my rain shall fall, and I will confirm the weary, and I will strengthen the weak, and I'll deliver the bound, and I'll heal the sick. And oh, you'll see breakthroughs that you've not seen before, said the Lord. So know it is something I've called you to. It is the life of the Spirit. It is the walk of the Spirit. It is the river of God. It is the flow of the Holy Ghost that I'm causing my people, and some have been dry, and some have gotten away from the move of the Spirit, and some have moved to intellectualism, and some have moved to philosophy and religion and tradition. But oh, I challenge the religion and tradition that has tried to come into this land, has tried to come into cities and regions. I break the ignorance and the darkness, and I cause knowledge and revelation and understanding to flow into your life. So be encouraged, and allow me to speak to you now, and allow me to drop my word upon your life. For I will drop my word on individuals. I'll drop my word on ministers. I'll drop my word on churches. I'll drop my word on cities. I'll drop my word on territories. I'll drop my word on nations. And when my word drops, my prophets will stand up and they'll say, thus saith the Lord, and they'll release my word into that atmosphere and into that region, and you'll see my word shall not return void. It'll be refreshing. It'll cause blessing. It'll cause breakthrough. So, oh, as you worship me, know that I'm raining upon you and I'm dropping upon you and I'm causing my blessing and my refreshing to come upon you. And I strengthen you today. For some have even watched this and you said, oh, I'm so tired. I need something fresh. I've been looking for something new. The Lord said, oh, it's come to you now. You searched and you prayed and you said, oh, God, take me into another realm. And so I'm causing you to move into the realm of the prophetic. It'll not be something you're afraid of or something that is spooky or something that is weird or something that is religious or something that is flaky. No, it'll be the life of the Spirit. It'll be living in the glory. It'll be living in the glory realm. It'll not just be something that happens every now and then. It'll become a lifestyle to you, said the Lord, for you to experience heaven dropping upon your life. So, oh, receive today as heaven comes your way and receive the word that I speak to you today and know that I take your sorrow away and I take away your pain and I strengthen those who are weak and I give you new strength, even those who seek. Oh, yes, it is a new day for you, says the Lord, and I speak to you now and I give you the word that you need and I teach you how to flow in the realm of the Spirit, how to prophesy. Oh, I speak to you today. Oh, I will not lie. I will tell you what is true. I will open your eyes and you'll see, and oh, you'll encounter new ways of my presence. You'll walk in my glory. So be excited and know it's a new day for you. Those who have sought my face, oh, I pour upon you a word. Oh, I give you my grace. Yes, I pour it upon you from heaven. It falls upon you now. Oh, it will not be tomorrow. Oh, but it is even now. I cause the rain to fall upon those who are dry and those who've lost strength. I give you new hope. I cause your eyes to lift. I cause you to look toward heaven and even to look to me. I release my word unto you, and yes, you'll experience my glory. Father, I bless them today, and I thank you for your word that's being released, and I speak shalom, favor, peace, grace, and prosperity over their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I've enjoyed ministering to you, and I want you to let me know what you thought about the program. Let me know how you were blessed. Don't forget to go to the John Eckhart Ministries website if you miss any of the teachings. This is part six. We have five previous ones. You can watch the programs free of charge. Be blessed. And until next week, I look forward to seeing you again. Let a neighbor, a friend, another saint of God know about us at this time every week. Until I see you again, God bless you and keep you as always, my prayer.